All right, item number one, report and possible discussion on retirement committee's roles and responsibilities presented by David Thompson, Chief Financial Officer.
Thank you. These agendas coming up, I've kind of rearranged everything to kind of back up and let folks, the new folks, kind of see what roles and responsibilities, what the reports are. So if you have questions, stop me, because I know these things, so I can fly through them sometimes. Let's see.
Uh-oh. Oh, there we go, there we go.
Did I do that?
No, I think I did.
All right, well, anyway, it did work, I guess. Just kind of let everybody know, you already know that the presiding officer makes the selection of onto the committee itself, as well as the appointing the positions they hold. It still requires the full board approval. The committee members are fiduciaries of the plan. They have responsibility for general supervision, administration of the plan, and its assets. Committee members are the only ones that can vote on the committee. Let's talk a little bit about the investment policy. It is the key document for the plan itself. The committee members are here to adopt and execute against the plan. They look at the plan and make sure the investment objectives are appropriate. They monitor the performance and compliance of the investment policy by using folks like your investment managers and other service providers that help you with it. And they have been given the responsibility for the planned assets. Now then, we revise the investment policy basing on, you know, different conditions. Could be new legislation coming out against the pension review board. So when we're aware of changes that come, we will let you know on those as well. And we do have something coming up in another agenda item to do that. And then obviously the members authorize the initiation of the payment. Can we go to the next slide, please? Oh, here we go. Another key thing that the members do is they actually select the consultants that we use. Oh, thank you. And the custodian trustee firm was Wells Fargo. It's now Principal Financial Group. And we have Barry Gunnels here as the representative from Principal Group. He was with Wells Fargo. We brought him on board in August, and I'll talk in another agenda item about the migration between the two, because there's several folks here that weren't here in 2019.
So before you get too far on that, remind me, when we changed the custodian in August of 19, that was done at the committee level and then not at the board level, right? It's committee driven.
This is the only committee of the BRA that stands alone from the board itself, and the only interaction with the board in this committee is the approval of the chairman's appointees to this committee.
Thank you.
We brought him on board in August, and I'll talk through that in another agenda item on that one. Actuarial service, Gallagher. I don't have a representative here, but normally I try to bring those in when the actuary reports come out in April or May. We're brought on board in 2018 through a solicitation. Next year, we'll probably have to go through and do another solicitation or a peep war to look at those firms. Investment consultant, Tony. Tony is here. And we just brought him on board through another solicitation back in April of 2021.
So all three of those went through that same thing, right? Where we did that at the committee level, and then we just report to the board who we chose.
Right. except for the principal group and Wells Fargo. Wells Fargo, and I've got a whole other agenda item. I'll talk about that in that one. But
okay.
That's a little different than we had before with the other ones. Good question. And then a key thing that the members do is they do initiate the payment to the participants themselves. And we have Monica here from the resource manager, and we also have the benefits administrator, which is Michelle Harris. Those two work with our actuaries, figuring out what the participants should be paid. They also figure out what plan they want to go on to. And then once Michelle figures out what to be paid and what plan they're on, a letter goes out to the committee for your approval and sending back, and that's key for the signatures on that.
So I don't want to keep stopping this meeting,
sure,
but I have a question about that. And maybe, I don't know, maybe that goes back here. Those letters we're getting right now are all snail mail letters. And I feel like the time that it's taking, at least me, to get them and send them back takes a little bit of time. Is there a way to do that electronically?
I think we can, because I don't...
Do you have a way to sign them electronically or stamp them or...
I can sign them in Bluebeam. I know that there are ways to do that.
We do a lot of our internal documentation.
I sign a lot of things internally with my signature.
With electronic signature. We're fine to get an electronic signature back.
I don't need to believe it, but I can cut and paste a copy of my signature. It's a form that I can.
We do, and I hate DocuSign. But because DocuSign, for another conversation, DocuSign, the way that I want contracts reviewed and commented on before they come to my signature is probably, it's problematic with DocuSign.
It's not a real signature.
It's not my signature.
It's not your real signature.
Right.
And I have a problem with it.
But I have electronic signature. But the answer to your question is yes, we can get you something electronically. If you can electronically sign it, send it back to us, that's fine. The only other issue is, and you can talk about the time sensitivity of it, while that may not work for others, it taking you a week or so to get that back is really not that big a deal.
It isn't, no. It could be, you know, a week or two to get back from that. It has the envelope.
We need the majority back before we can initiate the payments.
Sure.
Let us look into it. We also want to verify with the auditors that they're fine with electronic signature and initiating those payments, but we'll certainly look into that. And if some of you prefer, you know, snail mail or whichever, we can work it whichever way we need to.
All right. You guys speak up. What do you think?
I'm fine either way. I do electronic signature.
I prefer.
Yeah, if you're set up for electronic.
The mail is slow.
The electronic's the way to go if you're set up for it.
But let us talk to Baker Tilly, the
auditors,
and just make sure that they're good with. I don't think they'll have a problem with that. But I just make sure they.
If I can cut and paste my signature, it's fine. I just don't like DocuSign because it's not my signature.
Right.
Royce, what do you think? I mean, I don't want to be the only one who's going, I want electronic, and because I'll just deal with it if you guys all would rather. It sounds like you're either way.
I actually prefer the paper. Yes. Just because it's going to be hard for me to. I don't know how you sign electronically. I can type my name, but that's not my signature.
That's right.
Electronic signature.
Send it through Convene. It just does.
Let us research it. We'll get you something.
We'll figure it out. And
a lot of times they won't use that as a legal signing though, because it's not like the way I do documents. It's not my signature. It's a stamped signature with a time date. And once you do that, that document is locked. Nobody can change it anymore. On yours, somebody could still go.
Yeah, they could
change that document.
That's the problem I have with DocuSign. And also, the process that we use for department heads to review contracts before they go to legal makes it really hard for us to keep up with everybody's changes before a contract comes. So it's, but anyway, that's neither here nor there. But you're exactly right.
We'll work it. We'll figure it out and we'll get back with you.
Okay.
I will.
Perfect. Thank you.
That's pretty much all I had on his roles and responsibilities.
David, maybe I missed it, but would either you or Monica spend a few minutes talking about this retirement plan and why this committee exists and the difference between this retirement plan and the retirement plan that all our employees are on? Because it's just different.
Do you want to do that?
Yeah, I'll do that.
Thank you.
Monica's much better at this than I am.
This is one of the events I've tried to forget.
I'm trying to remember.
They were always, I wouldn't ask this question.
It's been a while, and it's good historical. It is really good historical. I have actually a handout that I could probably send y'all to track a real brief, some, I say brief, is probably a few pages, but summary of how we got where we are today. And so this plan initiated, I think, in the 69, maybe even in the 50s. And it was a defined benefit, fully defined benefit plan that the employer paid 100% of the cost. And in 1997, the plan shifted. The board, years before that, had determined that it's, the plan is too expensive and we're not going to be able to sustain this. And so in 97, they voted on a kind of a hybrid plan. So all existing employees who had been on the plan prior to 97 remained on the old DB plan and continued their benefits accruing on that plan. All new participants from there forward were on a partial DB plan and partial DC plan. It was all in this plan. So this one plan had three plans within it, really. It had the old DB, it had a new DB with a lesser benefit, and then a DC plan that had three components in it. I don't know if you want to go into that detail, but it's a very complicated plan. And the people who were here at the time had a choice to go on the new plan or stay on the old plan. They went on the new plan, then they were guaranteed if the new plan didn't earn as much at their retirement, that they would true them up. It's very complex. I think nine people maybe elected that. Everyone else stayed on the old plan. And so fast forward to 2007, and there was this huge disparity in that short a period of time, huge disparity in the benefits that the employer was paying for the people on the old plan and the people on the new plan. So we started looking at how can we get everybody on one plan and stop the bleed, because this is a very, as you know, DB plans are very expensive. Stop the bleed on this plan. So in 2007, we froze the plan and moved everyone to TCDRS. On TCDRS, it's a state plan, and each employee is required to contribute 6% of their earnings to this plan. So it's a shared employer-employee contribution. So TCDRS is a really good retirement plan. It's certainly going to provide employees a much better benefit than the old DB. In my opinion, the old DB or the DB that changed in 97 for sure. But even I believe the old DB plan, it's a better benefit by far than what we had before and less expensive for the employer. So we're up. And then you remember I said we had a DC component. Well, the employer was controlling that DC, and that was based on investments. So the decisions that this committee made affected people's actual retirement benefit because that portion of it is based on earnings. And so the committee determined, okay, well, that's not a really good idea to put ourselves in this position of their benefit being based on what we decide. And it was a frozen plan, so it kind of limited a little bit. So in 2010, we restated both plans, split the plan from a DB and DC to a DB and a DC, so two separate plans, and then we terminated the DC portion and paid that money out to employees.
The old DC portion.
Mm-hmm. And so, and the IRS, that all went through the IRS, and we did our determination. I think they're not doing determinations anymore on plans. You're just out there on your own. But the IRS approved all of that, approved us. They knew we were going to split the plan and then immediately terminate the DC. So that cleaned up that portion. All we're working with on this plan is DB portion. So you still have employees with two different benefits, but they froze in 2007. So It doesn't matter how many more years employees work or how much more money they make per year. Whatever their benefit was in 2007 is their benefit today.
And there's no new benefits except for investment.
So it's closed. So it's this board's, it's this committee's responsibility to work with these gentlemen as experts to make sure that that benefit is, that financial risk is managed and understood, and that we have the money in that, that bank account, if you will, to pay out those defined benefits.
We fund this, the BRA funds this annually.
Yes.
Well, they're catching up from, so we froze it in 2007, and we were in really good shape in 2007. And then came 2008, right? And so where our plan was really in good shape in 2007, come 2008, we're not in such good shape, just like any all the other plans. So what we've been contributing is really contributing to catch up, you know, to make up for those losses. Tony could probably talk more.
In addition to the defined contribution plan, is there a 401k also?
So yes. we have other retirement vehicles for everybody else that's not in these closed programs. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we have the TCDRS, which is a retirement vehicle, which was chosen because it's an excellent retirement vehicle, but it also matches our municipal and governmental customers. Yes. So our customers can't respond that your retirement is too rich. It's named different, but Round Rock and Georgetown and everybody are on TMRS.
Texas Municipal there Retirement.
You go.
Yeah.
So same type of vehicle. And then we also offer a government version of a 401, which
it's
is a 457 that the employees can contribute to. But either there is
yes.
a match, but either or the employee has to contribute to any new vehicle that they decide to jump in.
Most every
from
retirement. Company's going to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how many people do you have left on that old plan?
A lot. Michelle,
we're,
remember?
The 300.
It's on the report there.
Yeah, we're going to give.
Actually, we get into that.
We're going to get into all.
Actually, I'm going to go line by line through the reports and explain.
Yeah, he's going to walk through the report so you can see. And that kind of breaks it down of how many people are drawing on retirement, how many people are, you know, left aside. But, you know, we're looking at 50 years probably before we can shut the plan down. We buy out the rest of the people that are on it because it's not only employees, but it's also their dependents or, you know, whoever they named as their beneficiary. So
they could have had somebody very young.
Yes. And yes, absolutely. So it's it'll take a while.
So David, you and Tony, just for 5 minutes or less, talk a little bit about what a normal committee meeting looks like and the decisions that y'all are making and bringing to the board about the investments and those type things.
And actually, this agenda is probably the best one because I start off with your roles and responsibilities. I'll go through what Tony and I have a new fund that we want to introduce because one of the other funds is basically distributed out. And then we also have some changes in the investment policy. So those are the two things that Tony and I work on and watch. I mean, we look every year at the investment policy to make sure there's not any new legislation that's come out that's changed anything. We also look at performance of the funds and we, you know, make recommendations. This is the first recommendation I think we've had in a while, but only because LBC, which is one of the funds we have out there, is distributed out, meaning it's funded everything and we have the cash back. So we need to reinvest that money. So that's kind of the, that kind of covers.
Yeah, I'd say the only other thing, two other things is occasionally we will, as part of the update to the investment policy statement, consider new asset classes or potentially the elimination of an asset class to give us a better opportunity to hit the actuarial assumed required rate of return. So that is a consideration from time to time. These are long-term assets though, so we're generally not making those types of strategic shifts very often, but they do happen from time to time. And then, although we're introducing a new fund today, occasionally we will have an investment manager that is not meeting our expectations, or maybe there's a better alternative. So sometimes we will ask this committee to approve the termination of that manager and hiring a new manager.
So said another way, you all are rolling the dice and looking in your crystal ball to see if we're going to be adequately funded in 50 years. and you're riding the stock markets 2007, 2008, 2018, 19, and 20, and 21, and trying to make sure that we put our money in the right places to where when the people need their retirement, they have it, so that we don't have these unfunded liabilities that you read about in the newspaper that some of the larger municipalities have. Fair enough?
Fair enough, and we certainly try to mitigate that.
Yeah, and that's why we...
diversifying the portfolio.
50 years.
I like these big cities, man. They're so underfunded.
Good.
Thank you, David. Monica,
perfect.
Appreciate it.
Monica, thank you.
Good explanation. So any more questions about roles and responsibilities? If you think of something, don't hesitate to email me or ask questions. We're good. John? Yeah, no, I'm just
kidding. Can you go back through that for John?
I had never heard that.
He's been on this committee, what, 5, 6 years?
Well, he's been on the board, what, 50 years now? So this is probably his 49th.
Did you say 50?
Yeah.
I thought you said 52. Thank you very much.
So I put this agenda item there for the folks that are new on the committee that weren't here in 2019. And I think John and Bryce are two.
Do we need to go to item number 2 on
That's
the
correct.
Regular agenda?
Yep. If you're done with agenda item number 1,
I'm sorry.
Walk you into item number 2.
Sorry.
Any questions on item 1? Okay. It's really our roles and responsibilities. Anything? Good? You got any questions?
Okay.
All right.